This is the OANDA podcast, brought to you by Jazz FM's Business Breakfast.
Welcome back to the OANDA Market Insights podcast, brought to you with the Jazz FM Business Breakfast. I'm Johnny Hart. Each week we review the stories that made the business and market headlines, as well as look forward to the week to come. Well, Craig Earlham is away this week, so let's speak to OANDA market analyst in Toronto, Alfonso Esparza, who joins me on the line from Canada. Good afternoon.
Hi, Johnny. Happy to be here.
Good to hear from you. Let's start with Brexit. And we had those comments from the Bank of England Governor Mark Carney earlier in the week, who said a disorderly Brexit could delay rises in interest rates, as the bank would be obliged to act to shore up the economy. And he's made it clear what he described as a sharp Brexit could mean a reassessment of whether an interest rate rise is imminent or not. Of course, we expected that to happen a few weeks ago. Then it didn't at the beginning of this month. And so we're even rowing that even further back and possibly talking about a fall. And that has obviously had a big effect on sterling in the latter part of this week.
Yes. And I think the market was expecting something like that from Carney. It's just because he's sticking to what he's said in the past. And the Bank of England has been very quick to warn markets and investors what could happen. And sort of they're making sure that they're ready for the worst case scenario. And so what Governor Carney is doing is he's just laying the groundwork. If there is a very sharp Brexit, that the work of the central bank would increase in size just because of sort of the size of the effect it could have in the economy.
He also said that weak growth in the first 3 months of the year may not just be down to the harsh weather. Of course, snow is nothing new for you in Canada, Alfonso, but for us in March, it was pretty harsh and it had a major effect on retail. But he's saying it wasn't just about the bad weather. Consumer spending statistics were weaker. The housing market was also showing signs of decline. And even though we've seen a bit of an uptake in retail over the last few weeks, many economists believe a weaker economy would also like to head off any plans to increase interest rates. And the governor has reiterated that.
Yes, and we talked about this last time I was on the program. We've seen that the GDP numbers are soft, and that's a lagging indicator. So that's something that already happened. It's in the books. They're just reporting it now. But also the forward indicators, so the PMIs, were soft again. So there's this concern that the economy is losing steam. It definitely took care of the May rate hike, which was off the table as soon as the PMIs were out. And it's leaving the central bank in a very precarious position because it's awaiting the Brexit divorce sooner or later without knowing when it actually will happen and to what extent. But it has to be ready to sort of shore up the economy and to shield it from sort of the most negative effects.
And what sort of effect has it had on sterling in the latter part of the week in terms of the numbers?
The pound is down over 1% versus the dollar. A direct reaction to what the market saw with the EU-UK talks, that they're still sort of far apart in various topics. There was an unknown source that mentioned that the UK wants to basically be part of the club without paying the fees. And that type of conversation was very hurtful to the pound. It started depreciating. And it remains to be seen that what will be the biggest impact once we have more to go on. Right now, the markets are still anticipating what could happen and if they can actually glean any insights from current negotiations.
It's amazing to think that just a few weeks ago, sterling had been one of the best performing currencies in 2018.
Yeah, so the dollar was really having a horrible start to 2018, and sort of the pound was one of the biggest winners there. Again, the economic data have not been released, so we're still living a bit in the past year. And then, yes, there was a weather effect. There was still sort of the Brexit hungover that apparently is hitting the UK now. And that's what Governor Carney was starting to stress, that even though things looked rosy at the end of last year, or even the beginning of this one, everything could change, and that the central bank should and is ready for any negative effects.
Okay, let's turn to the latest news regarding North Korea and the effect that that has had on markets. I've seen gold on the rise, breaking above $1,300. In the currency market, the Japanese yen has risen against the dollar. This all down to the fact that this peace summit, which we had across the world such high hopes about with North Korea, is off the table for the time being. It would have marked with the first time a sitting president of the United States met with his North Korean counterpart. It's a bit of a blow, but perhaps it's still going to happen, but just not in June in Singapore.
Yes, and the first reaction is always when something this big happens is that investors start selling riskier assets. So it's a flight to safety. So that explains why gold and yen, those are traditional safe havens. Those were the ones that appreciated the most. And to another extent, the dollar is also a safe haven currency. So we've seen sort of the depreciation of the euro and the pound against the dollar.
Indeed. We've heard some comments actually in the last few hours from Donald Trump saying that the summit could still go ahead on 12th of June, despite earlier cancelling the meeting. This is a very confusing state for markets, isn't it? President Trump at the best of times is difficult to read. What happens next?
Everybody's guess is as good as anyone. I mean, at this point, we've seen that what most thought almost impossible to actually bring the two Koreas to the table happened. And then everyone was so optimistic. And then we got the U.S. as a negotiator. We got the Singapore date. And suddenly it unraveled very quickly on sort of remarks on the side. And now even North Korea is saying that they would be happy to go on to the summit, even if the U.S. doesn't show up. So the summit is still on the calendar. It's back and forth between sort of two leaders, and it's been played at the world stage and for everyone to see. So what we've seen is the U.S. leadership bringing something that would be monumental to the table, but at the last minute sort of taking it away. So it still could happen. And as even Donald Trump said, and Kim seems to be in agreement, that it could still be in the works. It's just now it becomes more complicated. There's another sort of line of thought that China is asking for a seat at the table, given sort of their very important role that they play in Asia. So that would be an interesting one. And especially because, again, even though this is not mentioned, it's weighing heavily in the U.S. president, is sort of the trade at a global scale. So we've seen sort of the NAFTA on the side. We see the China-U.S. trade deals. And that's where sometimes where antagonists have to become sort of friends at the table. And he's sort of trying to shuffle or at least juggle all those responsibilities at the same time. And we haven't, as market watchers, we haven't seen where's the next step. We're always sort of trying to anticipate and try to price in sort of currencies and stocks what could happen based on those decisions. And we've gotten a lot of information, but some of it contradictory.
Seems like either side is tempting the other one to blink first, really. It's a very strange game of cat and mouse. I'm not sure who the cat and who the mouse is. Let's move on to the latest Fed notes from the May Federal Open Market Committee meeting. Not as hawkish as expected.
That is correct. And first of all, it was sort of like a not that a monumental meeting as expected. I mean, the central bank did not change the rates. Those changes are expected in June. But even then, the market was expecting maybe a bit of more of a hat tip. It got that, but only just. So the Fed is almost certainly going to move in June. It's going to hike by 25 basis points the benchmark rate, but there's still some doubts about what happens next, or what happens when it reaches normal rates, which is around 3%. So that there's still not a lot of talk of that. So the dollar has been strong based on sort of the support from the Fed and economic indicators, but its main weakness has been geopolitical events. So the Fed is back on track. It's saying that things are looking good, but just so. So it's not super optimistic about sort of inflation. They believe they can let the economy run a little bit hot, or that means just past the 2% inflation rate without incurring into any sort of long-term effects. And it remains to be seen what they actually say on after the June meeting, because there's a press conference. And that's usually the place where, especially now that Fed Chair Powell, it's his second time facing the financial press, sometimes they give away a little bit more than they would have in minutes. So that's probably what the market's looking forward next in terms of something that hasn't been said before.
And as you said, a June rate hike's been fully priced in by the market, and another two more rate hikes this year, a strong possibility. I'm wondering whether the geopolitical effects of, say, North Korea or Iran will come into play considerably with this, and we actually might end up just getting one more rate hike after June.
The Fed tries to be very apolitical, trying not to sort of meddle in things that are not of their concerns or not in their purview. But it has made comments about trade. So for the Fed, geopolitics that is mostly sort of diplomatic and things like Iran, North Korea are not really they're not really taking a good look at that. What they're actually focusing on is things like trade. So NAFTA, the trade deal with China, those they've mentioned that could have an effect and a negative effect at that if something sort of unravels. And back to your point, yes, that could delay the rate hike plan that have us sort of outlined. The Fed members have been very vocal supporting two more rate hikes this year, maybe even three, so like four in total. So that is a possibility. But again, everything has to line up as it has in the past. So we've had a very strong economy, like inflation and wages, although not impressive, had been sort of rising steadily, and that's good enough for the Fed for now. But the question mark remains trade for the Fed. And the flip side would be if we get any advances or any good news on the trade front, those four rate hikes in 2018 could be a done deal sooner if that we have good news on NAFTA and the China-US trade deal.
Okay, that was the last few days, Alfonso. What should we expect next week? A short working week for the UK. Do you have the same in Canada? Is it going to be 4 or 5 days in the week to come?
So Canada's 5 days, so we had our holiday, our May holiday this week. But for the U.S. would also be a long weekend, Memorial Day on Monday. So that means that they have also a four-day week. So it's going to be a short week in the U.S. And it's going to be major releases considering it's a U.S. jobs week. So we'll have data from the private sector and also the government. In terms of central banks, the Bank of Canada will announce its rate. The expectation is that no change. There hasn't been anything that could force them to change their view. So we will expect Canada to keep its rate. And there's a G7 meeting going on in Canada as well. So Canada is going to be in the calendar and in the news for sure next week. Jobs in the U.S. are still expected to be supportive of the dollar, just because it has that tremendous run, but investors are not looking at the headline number. So if there's 150,000 or 170,000 new jobs in the U.S., that's not as important as inflation gauges. So the market is going to be keying on wage growth and how that could affect the decision of the Fed. So that will be the biggest indicator next week.
Should be very interesting. Alfonso, thank you very much for joining us from Toronto today. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Johnny.
That's Alfonso Esparza in Toronto. Don't forget, you can hear this podcast on iTunes and via Android. Until next time, have a very good weekend.
That That was the OANDA podcast from the team behind Jazz FM's Business Breakfast, a daily early morning 30-minute briefing for the day ahead. On air from 6 a.m. Listen to Jazz FM on DAB, online, or just ask Alexa.